Om Shanti. Good morning. See, I can see that most of you are smiling, cheerful, healthy, bright. And I need not tell you how to become more healthy. You all look very healthy and fit. Why don't you come a little closer, brothers and sisters who are sitting on the backside? This is a family. This is not a university class. Come closer. I'm going to have a chit-chat rather than giving you a lecture, you know, a class. Come closer. The only reason I want a very close family meeting is to make you so healthy that you return back the next season with more zeal and enthusiasm. Right? So if at all there are any health issues, we can sort it out right now before leaving Madhuban. I'm sure you don't have any issues. You all are healthy. I have been giving classes on health regularly. And since I am a neuropsychiatrist by profession in this birth, I want everyone to be physically healthy, mentally healthy, spiritually healthy. Why health is considered to be one of the types of health? Wealth. Only because wealth, if accumulated enough, can be of use during the times of emergencies or crisis. And more you have the level of fitness, more you are healthier and away from sicknesses, more you can do the efforts, and more you can do the service. Because it's the same chariot that we use for making efforts and doing some service. So chariot also needs to be looked after. Although we need not be body conscious in order to look after our body, but the basic minimum attention and care of the chariot, the body, needs to be taken care of. The fact is that we have inherited the most tamopradhan body in this 84th birth. This body has its own nature, the tamopradhan nature. This body, this chariot, has its own genetic makeup, which makes us prone to develop different illnesses. Whether they are medical illnesses or psychosomatic illnesses or neuropsychiatric illnesses, we don't know. And we all have genetic predisposition or genetic or hereditary susceptibility to certain illnesses. That includes diabetes, high blood pressure, stroke, migraines, depression, cancer and whatnot. All of us have different karmic accounts in our families. If we have the family history of diabetes or high blood pressure in the Laukic family, the maternal side or the paternal side, we are more prone to develop diabetes. If we are exposed to prolonged level of stress, if we are exposed to stress for a long time, and if we cannot manage stress in time, that stress triggers different illnesses like diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease, etc., etc. How many of you have never experienced a sickness? Can you please raise your hand? No sickness whatsoever, not even flu, not even viral fever. You see, viral fever or flu is also a psychosomatic illness. When there is an epidemic of flu in the society, in different countries, half of the population or maybe one third of the population gets affected. The rest of the people don't get affected. The reason being, the other half of the population can cope up with the viruses. They are strong enough, cheerful enough to discard the infection, to discard the viruses, to fight with the viruses. The other half of the population probably have stress, anxiety, depression, and they succumb to the viruses and they catch flu more often than the other half. You all are experienced, right? Where you are working, half of the staff members would be affected by flu. You know, sneezing and coughing, and you have to take a pardon and you have to get blessed when you sneeze. You already are blessed, right? I need not tell you. It's the Western tradition to bless someone who is sneezing. But Baba's children are already blessed, right? Yeah? So, the half of the population who are under stress, in any kind of stress, it does not mean, you know, sometimes people don't recognize that they are under stress. Only when they develop certain psychosomatic illnesses, medical illnesses or psychiatric illnesses, they come to know that, oh, it's now a bit late, too late, you know. We have developed a sickness, we should seek an appointment with a doctor, with our family physician or a psychiatrist. How many of you have never experienced stress in your lifetime? Nobody? So this is a sure sign that we are living in the confluence age, you know. The golden age is yet to arrive. Yeah? Everyone is experienced in terms of stress and maya. The maya auntie, Papa remembers, right? Sometimes maya is misunderstood, you know. People who have gross illness of anxiety or depression or personality problems, they are the trouble for themselves and others. And we label them as, you know, oh, she has got maya. He is under the influence of maya, you know. We have a habit to label this kind of people who have stress, who have anxiety. It's very important for the Brahmins to know how to differentiate or demarcate between a gross psychiatric, treatable, curable illness from maya. We all know the gross code of conduct. How many of you have come for the first time in Gyan Sarovar? All right. Most of those who are seniors already know that what are the boundaries, what are the different codes of conduct, the Srimad, the major dharana, the points of dharana. And someone inadvertently or advertently violates those code of conduct can experience maya in different forms. And that's visible. That's visible within the center, that's visible within the family. Oh, this person, this brother or sister has got a certain kind of maya. But how to differentiate it bit from a gross psychiatric illness? There are many psychiatric illnesses you might be aware of. Different anxiety disorders, different depressive illnesses, psychotic illnesses like schizophrenia, schizoaffective disorder, bipolar disorder, different personality disorders, different phobias. Do you know how many types of phobias are there? Some people are having phobias of darkness, some are having phobias of stage, public speaking, public meeting. Some people have phobias of meetings and exams, especially the students. Do you know how many types of phobias are there? Some sisters have phobias of cockroaches in the center. The poor cockroaches. They do their own business of eating, the remaining, and then the sisters get scared of the cockroaches. So there are about more than 2,000 types of different phobias, you know. And some phobias are very, very severe, intense. And people try to avoid those objects or creatures or situations. Some people have phobias of heights, some people have phobias of water, some people have phobias of lifts, closed spaces. I'm sure Baba's children are Master Almighty and they don't have any phobias. How many of you have any phobias? Can you raise your hands, please? Few. At least 10% of the people the world over have phobias. So, out of 100, 10 would be having phobias. And if they are troubling you, you should get rid of it as early as possible. Because it might interfere in your Laukik profession, your job, your interactions with the people around, your day-to-day living. Right? Now, I am fond of inviting questions. Dadi Janki is also very fond of inviting questions. You know, then she starts giving a class. I follow Dadi Janki in that sense. I like two-way traffic, you know, not just one-way traffic. I'm giving you some advice, some tips, and you go on listening to it. And sometimes you fall asleep also. If you haven't slept well last night. How many of you haven't slept well last night? Alright, so those who haven't slept well at night time might doze off, you know, while I give lecture unilaterally. You know. So, why don't you invite questions from the family? Yes, brother. Let's start from the brothers, yeah? Okay. Yes, brother. I will repeat it for you, yeah? Yeah, please. Alright, this is a very good question that you might be posed by even the students, you know. How much can we link the diseases with our karma? Very important question. Many of the diseases have a karma, karmic accounts of this particular birth and not the previous births. Not the past births. If I allow myself to be beaten by the mosquitoes, it's the karma of this present birth, present time. It has nothing to do with the karmas of the past births. If I have inherited the genes of diabetes, if my mother has diabetes, if my father has diabetes, if it runs in the families, I probably have inherited the genes of diabetes. And I might get diabetes. In that case, yes, the karmic accounts of my family members, and even the past births is justified. Because why I am in this particular family, in this birth, is because of some karmic accounts with that particular family. And so in that sense, some of the karmic accounts can be correlated with the present diseases. But not all the diseases can be correlated with our present karmic accounts. Okay? Some of the faulty behaviors, unhealthy behaviors of this particular birth that we have developed can cause diabetes, can cause heart disease. So for example, obesity. Obesity, those who have obese, chubby chariots, you know, it's related with the eating habits. They eat a lot of junk food. They eat high calorie stuff. They eat fast food. They eat a lot than what is required for the body. And they don't do exercise. They don't do even routine work. Cleaning and vacuum cleaning and, you know, gardening and things like that. So they are more prone to be obese, to be overweight. Yes, there are few genes which are also causative for obesity these days. If obesity is there in the families, of course you are more prone to develop obesity. You are more prone to overeat. You are more likely to have increased appetite that makes you overweight, obese. But most of the times, obesity is because of your unhealthy behavior, unhealthy eating habits of present birth. So obesity and similar illnesses, many illnesses, can be correlated with the present karma and not the past karmic accounts. Okay? All right. Any other question? Yes, sister. Right. Right. This sister has a genuine problem which is omnipresent. Those who are householders and half of the family members are Baba's children, following Baba's lifestyle, yogic lifestyle, and half of the family members don't follow Baba's knowledge, and then there is a constant tussle between the family members. It's an omnipresent situation, those who live in the households. Except for those who live in the centers, of course, or those who are living in Madhavan. You see, as far as major dharanas are concerned, like having vegetarian diet, having Brahma Bhojan cooked in Baba's remembrance, eaten in Baba's remembrance, keeping ourselves away from all the vices, gross vices, smoking, alcohol, etc., etc., listening to the Murlis daily, and doing our job accurately in order to sustain ourselves. And if it is not a hurdle for the other family members, fine. If you have a luxury to have 3 or 4 bedrooms, and those who don't follow the Amrit Vela, you know, routine, and those who do Amrit Vela yoga, if they have separate bedrooms, fine. But if you have a small apartment, and if you have too many members, obviously there would be a problem. If you wake up during Amrit Vela, it might disturb the other family members. Yeah? It happens. Or somebody who has got a night duty in the family who is working it during night time, you know, and he has to remain awake, or he comes at the middle of the night, and you will be disturbed if you are sleeping. So these are the small problems which happen when we try to follow Baba's Srimad in terms of Amrit Vela meditation and things like that. But there are ways we can sort it out, you know. Always negotiate with the family members, always talk to them, and find out a middle way so that it doesn't disturb them, neither they disturb you, right? It's a kind of a peaceful coexistence that you have to find out, you know, by negotiating with them. It's not a compulsion on either side. Neither they can force you, nor you can force them. Can you? No. Yeah, they might try to force you. Yeah. But then you know that if you are pakka, if you know that Amrit Vela is useful to you, of course you would wake up during Amrit Vela. You won't follow their advice, right? And go on sleeping until 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. Going out? Onion and garlic. Yeah, this is another very common problem that Brahmins encounter. There is a myth regarding onion and garlic, you know. As I have told previously also in previous classes, there are certain medicinal values of onion and garlic. So is true with alcohol. Alcohol in small amount is a kind of a solvent for the cough medicines. So in the cough syrups, you have alcohol as a base to get the medicines dissolved in the cough syrup. Only when you have cough, those cough syrups containing alcohol will be of use to you. But if you don't have cough and you take alcohol, you know what happens. Similarly, onion and garlic. Now, onion and garlic are believed to reduce cholesterol. There are few studies, some studies related with onion and garlic, which says that if it is taken in amount, very small amount regularly, might reduce cholesterol. Mind well, cholesterol usually increases with your high calorie fast food, cheese, butter, fried food, wafers, you know, junk food, Maggi, macaroni and things like that. If you avoid those fast food, your cholesterol would be normal. You did not take onion and garlic daily. And if you take onion and garlic, if your cholesterol is normal, what will happen? I mean, right, it's an acid. If you take the medicines without having a disease, what happens? I mean, simple. It causes side effects. It causes more damage. It doesn't give you any benefit. It gives you damage. It harms the body. It harms the organs. So it is not recommended to have onion and garlic on a daily basis. Unless it is recommended by your physician, your cardiologist, that yes, you can have it because your cholesterol is very high. But if it is not recommended, then it is better to avoid. So your relatives, if they force you to have onion and garlic, you can always tell them, my cholesterol is fine. Please don't force me. Yeah? Simple. So is true with liquor. So is true with beer, alcohol, right? They cannot force you. We have big Bibles of alcohol written by the doctors, you know. In the medical colleges, our professor used to teach, you know. I'm fortunately from Gujarat, Ahmedabad, which is a dry state. I never saw a bottle of liquor until the age of 30, believe me. And our professor in medical college used to say that he was a gray-headed, very respected professor of medicine. And he used to say that, I have tasted liquor only once and it's so bitter. It's so bitter, I don't know why people drink it. This is what he used to say, you know. And then we came to study about the ill effects of alcohol, and now it is proven beyond doubt, you know. The alcohol damages all the organs of the body. Right from head to toes. It affects all the organs. It just does not affect liver or heart or kidney or intestines or stomach. It damages all the organs of the body. And so we are fortunate that, you know, Baba has already told us not to have these kind of intoxicating things. Yeah? So nobody can force you. Tell them, I'm fine, fit, healthy. I don't have high cholesterol. I don't have any other problem. No cough. Why should I have alcohol? Now, this sister has another question, which is legitimate one, you know. There are few doctors who recommend taking alcohol. They say red wine or grape wine and things like that are useful in small quantity. Yeah, I'm giving you the answer about that. You know, those who have the food which is low in iron, those who take less vegetables and less fruits are prone to develop low hemoglobin, anemia. And if you have low hemoglobin, anemia, it causes weakness and tiredness and fatigue and depression. So some doctors, not some, few doctors recommend that, go for the red wine, the grape wine and things like that, which contains a lot of iron. Iron, you know, which causes more hemoglobin, which is useful in producing hemoglobin in the body. Now, that iron is there in green leafy vegetables, It is there in many fruits, dates, spinach. If you don't eat these kind of stuff, then you are likely to have low hemoglobin. And then in that case, few doctors might recommend you, but it is not wise to take wine, grape wine, in order to raise your hemoglobin. Alright? It's better to take the iron tablets, which increases hemoglobin, rather than taking red wine. You incur a very big risk of damaging your liver and many other organs. Alcohol is also known to raise your blood pressure. Alcohol is known to cause damage to your heart and things like that. And who knows, if you get habituated to it, if you become addicted to it, then it's very difficult to get rid of it. Then you need to consult a psychiatrist in order to get rid of it. How many of you have consumed alcohol in your life before? So, you know what are the ill effects of alcohol. You are saved, I tell you. You are very fortunate that you are saved from alcohol. I get the patients of alcohol addiction day in and day out in Global Hospital, you know, who want to become abstinent from alcohol. So it's true with many other drugs, you know. All the drugs, including nicotine and things like that, opium, opioid, cannabis, cocaine, they all are very harmful. And we are fortunate that we are saved. Yeah? Any other questions, sister? Yes? Sure. You see, the cancer, if it is there in the family, the sister has got a family history of cancer. And cancer is a psychosomatic illness, you know. Now, what has been observed over the years, that if you want to prevent cancer, there are many studies which are scientific studies carried out in order to prevent cancer, you know. And if at all, if you develop cancer, in the first and second stage, it is almost curable, you know. If you consult the doctor in time and get it treated, if you have a tumor, cancer tumor, if you get it operated, up to second stage, it is completely curable. But how to prevent it? How to take preventive measures if you have a family history of cancer? Most of the doctors and most of the research studies have recommended that follow healthy lifestyle. What healthy lifestyle means? Vegetarian balanced diet, number one. Number two, moderate aerobic exercise. That includes stretching of major joints. Number three, good quality, adequate sleep. Number four, lot of vegetables and fruits. Number five, stress-free daily routine. Now everyone has his or her own daily routine. What we psychiatrists recommend, that you should have a balance between your diet, your rest, and your exercise on a given day. Diet, rest, and exercise. It should be in moderation. It should be almost fixed every day. It should not be too much, not too less. So fixed daily routine, which has moderation of moderate amount of sleep, diet, and rest. Now, if you follow this kind of healthy lifestyle behaviors, you are less likely to develop cancer. Even if it is running in your family, even if you are exposed to stress, you will be able to cope up with stress. If you balance out your physical health with the spiritual health, if you remain stress-free, if you follow these healthy lifestyles, then you can be saved. So it's very important to follow the daily routine, which is healthy, fixed, and that has a balanced daily routine. Not too much of sleep, not too less of sleep, not too much of exertion, not just sedentary life, not too much of eating, overeating, or fasting, moderate amount of frequent meals daily. I can give you detailed answer about what is, you know, balance, vegetarian diet, how frequent it should be taken, etc., etc. But because of paucity of time, just this salient points, if you follow, probably you can never develop cancer, for sure. Yes, brother. Right. Now, this brother is asking, in this present scenario, we probably don't get those many vegetables and fruits with enough nutritive value. And in case we don't have it, can we go for tablets, tonics, vitamins? Yes, you can. If you get good quality, hygienic, clean vegetables and fruits, nothing like it. You should go for it. Whole fruits, no juices, whole fruits, salads, vegetables. There is a kind of a tricolor. Have you observed? Most of the vegetables and fruits have tricolors, either green or black or brown or yellow or pink. Now, these three colors have different nutritive values. The green has got a lot of vitamin B complex. The brown has more iron, brown or black. Like eggplant, brinjals, black brinjals. In America, they call it eggplant. Yeah? Similarly, yellow and pink, like mangoes, oranges, they are rich in vitamin A. Vitamin A. So, these vitamins, different vitamins, are very vital for the body. And if you have a combination of all these kind of different colors of vegetables and fruits on a daily basis, it is recommended that it's about 750 to 1,000 grams of vegetables or fruits is ideal for our daily requirement. How many of you are nurses or doctors, by the way? Good. So you can add if I'm missing something, yeah? You can compliment me. But it is very difficult to have about a kilogram of vegetables and fruits daily. Yeah? So, if you can get a multivitamin tablet, which are available now, OTCs are available, there are many tablets which are available, they are good. You should take them only when you deprive yourself of enough amount of vegetables and fruits. It's also true that milk and milk products, especially low-fat milk and milk products, are also very essential for vitamin D and A and calcium and things like that. And it is also recommended that if you have enough amount of vegetables, fruits, milk, yogurt, along with, of course, cereals and pulses, like chapatis and rice and, you know, things like that, that's the best diet. The Brahmin's vegetarian diet, which is cooked in Baba's remembrance, is the best food. If you go to a restaurant and hotel and come back home after having dinner, and if you go to a center, have a Brahma Bhojan and return back, see the difference. Yeah, you all are experienced, yeah? Good. So, if you cannot have balanced vegetarian diet that includes about a kilogram of fruits and vegetables, more than half a liter of milk or milk products every day, then it is better to go for a multivitamin tablet. Get a prescription from your family doctor if you require it. Especially if your hemoglobin is low, if you feel you're tired. You see, the B-complex vitamins are not stored in the body. Usually, there are two types of vitamins. Fat-soluble vitamins are stored in the body, in the liver, And water-soluble vitamins, like vitamin B complex, are not stored in the body. And the water-soluble vitamins, B complex, which are very, very vital, people get deficiency of vitamin B complex. And if you don't have enough vegetables and fruits every day, you are likely to have deficiency of vitamin B complex. Vitamin B complex means vitamin B1, B2, B6, B12, and they all can cause even depression and anxiety if you are deficient in vitamin B complex. So it is advisable to have B complex tablet or pill every day if you don't have time to procure vegetables and fruits and eat it in time. Many of you who have, you know, jobs, especially in the Western countries, I have seen people running, you know, right from the morning they are running, they are on their way to their job, and they don't find time to have the breakfast or lunch, and they sometimes tend to skip the meals. So it is advisable to take a pill in those situations. Yes, any other questions? Yes, sister? No, Abilify tablet which you are talking about is aripiprazole, is an antipsychotic. It is not addictive. Okay? And if it is recommended by a psychiatrist for a psychotic illness like schizophrenia or schizoaffective disorder, there is a course of the medication. Every illness has a course of the tablets. If somebody has got depression, the minimum recommended course of antidepressant is about 9 months. Similarly, somebody who has got schizophrenia or schizoaffective disorder, the minimum recommended period for antipsychotic like Abilify, and there are many other antipsychotic drugs, is for about 1 year. And if you complete the course of the drug and then the doctor discontinues it, and there won't be relapse. But if you discontinue in between, there can be relapse of the symptoms. But for sure, it is not addictive. Okay? Yeah, sister? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Say it again. Okay. This sister is asking some specific questions regarding the first question she asked is neuropsychiatry or the exact meaning of psychosomatic. And the other question she asked is regarding specific issues of Brother Nirvair and Dadi's health. As I said, all of us have inherited this chariot of 84th birth, which has got its own genetic makeup. We have inherited many genes. Do you know how many genes we have inherited? We have inherited about 40,000 genes. And about 300 to 400 genes out of those 40,000 genes are abnormal genes, which makes us develop certain illnesses like heart disease and cancer and things like that. We don't know what Dadi's genetic makeup is, Dadi Janki or Dadi Gulzar. We don't know what the genetic makeup of the chariot of Brother Nirvair is. But for sure, if they have developed these illnesses, they probably have inherited those genes, you know. And so they are having those issues. As regards your question about neuropsychiatry and psychosomatic, you know, it's a very, very important point to know. These days, the concept of medicine has changed. Earlier on, people used to say that it's only the body which can become sick. Like, About 70, 80 years ago in the medical colleges, the students were taught that it's the body which can have only the sicknesses, not the mind. Subsequently, they found out that if somebody has depression or anxiety or stress, it itself can cause more illnesses, more physical illnesses. In other words, different psychiatric illnesses or stress or stress-related illnesses reduces immunity of the body and it causes more illnesses. And that's how there is a concept now which is known as mind-body medicine. The body is affected by mind. Now, it is also come to know, the scientists have come to know that the brain, which is an intermediary part of your soul, your mind and the body, is also very important. Is the hardware of the computer also very important? However good software you have, but if your hardware is not good, if your hard disk is not good, you know, it can give you troubles. So the brain also came into picture. There are so many neurological illnesses which can cause depression. There are so many brain-related illnesses which can cause problems. Earlier on, 20 years down the line of 50, 30 years back, there were no scanning. There was no CT scan. There was no MRI scanning of the brain. So people never knew that what is there in the brain. Now we can visualize the whole brain, you know. The tumor can cause depression. If there is hemorrhage, which is long-standing, subdural hematoma, which can cause depression. There are certain developmental disorders which are there since birth. We don't know. Some people who have intellectual disability, those who have mild mental retardation. There are some children who have low intelligence, you know. And now you can visualize the brain. They have abnormal brain. They have some parts of the brain which is damaged. So the brain also is very important. It's like, you know, you have a very expert driver of the car, but the engine of the car is not okay. It has some problems. So however good the driver may be, but he won't be able to drive the car properly because the engine is not proper. The engine also has to be proper. Say for example, this is what is happening with Daddy Gulzar. If you have recently seen of late, last 1 or 2 years, Baba has to ask while he is there. He has to ask and sometimes he forgets. It's not that Shiv Baba forgets it. But the memory which is stored in the brain of Daddy Gulzar, that is having a problem. And so Baba has to ask again and again to Muniben. Sometimes Muniben has to remind Baba, you know. Right? So the engine of the car is also very important. It's not just the driver of the car, but the engine of the car is also very important. And in that sense, neurology, which is related to brain, the engine, and psychiatry, which is related to mental health, stress and stress-related problems, are interrelated. And they cause lot many problems, lot many medical illnesses, psychosomatic illnesses. The term psychosomatic means those medical illnesses, those somatic illnesses or physical illnesses which are caused by psychological stress. That's why the term psychosomatic is coined. Alright? Okay. Yes, brother. Which country are you living in, brother? Bangalore. Bangalore. India and the metro cities, this brother lives in Bangalore, the South India. Fortunately, the villages and most of the rural areas of India have clean water. The rainwater which is stored in the ponds and lakes and the wells that is used for cultivation, for farming, and which is devoid of pollution. Unless the fertilizers are used, many of the farmers do use fertilizers, but now people have become aware of it. It's like you take exact amount of medicine in case you are sick. You don't take an overdose of the medicine. Neither you take the underdose of medicine. Otherwise it won't work. So as true with the pesticides and insecticides. Now the farmers have become very aware about the fact that optimum amount of fertilizers and pesticides are very useful. Not all the farmers have become aware of it, but many of them have become aware of it. So, the vegetables and fruits that you get in the market, in the vegetable market these days, in the produce, might contain pesticides and fertilizers, but hopefully it should be okay. But I know there are some areas, some states where fertilizers are overused, pesticides are overused, where there are lot many, you know, plant sicknesses that damage the crops, and then they have to use heavy amounts of pesticides in order to get rid of those sicknesses. I don't know about the other countries. Most of the other countries like America, there is a lot of buzz about genetically modified crop, GM food and GM vegetables, and it requires extensive research, you know, in order to have an established nutritive value. Yes, many of the genetically modified crops are really nutritious and less harmful. But there are few which can be harmful. We aren't sure. We live in confluence age. We offer Brahma Bhojan to Baba. And let Baba take care of the Brahma Bhojan. We don't know how much pesticide it contains. Yeah, and fertilizer it contains. But if you are strong enough, I'm sure you can discard the ill effects of pesticides, yeah, and fertilizers. Yes, any other question? Sister side? One by one? Yeah, sister. Yeah. Say it again, little loudly. Vitamin D injection. There is a lot of talk about vitamin D. You know, those countries where sunlight is scanty, like Scandinavian countries, the tropical, the temperate zones, you know, Canada, Scandinavian countries, some parts of Russia, where sunlight is deficient, those are the countries where vitamin D deficiency is likely to happen. And those are the countries where vitamin D injections are recommended. India, fortunately, has a lot of sunlight. In India, vitamin D deficiency is not that common. It is there, but it is not that common. I don't know which country you live in. Which country? Singapore. Singapore has a lot of sunshine. So, unless you have osteoporosis in old age, where your bones are weak, your calcium is low, you eat less milk products, then you are likely to develop vitamin D deficiency. And in that case, vitamin D injections can be of use to you. Just once in a year or twice in a year, not more than that, you know. Okay, yes, brother. Lot many cereals and pulses and legumes that you have, the best recommended form of protein in vegetarian diet is combination of different cereals like wheat, moong, different dals that you have, moong dal, chana dal, Bengal gram, in different combinations every day. You see, Madhuvan food is ideal in that sense. As far as protein requirement is concerned, you have a soup, you have a dal, which is of different Bengal gram, you have a chapati, roti, which is wheat. Wheat is again a rich source of protein. You sometimes have soybean. Soybean has got the highest amount of protein. Similarly, different legumes, sprouts, you know, again a rich source of proteins. All different legumes and cereals in different amount and different variation on a daily basis is the best form of protein. Easily digestible. It gives you all essential amino acids. It gives you daily requirement of proteins. Proteins are the ones which we require the most for our body to function. Do you know that? proteins, which contains amino acids. Some of them are essential amino acids, which are also used for manufacturing of certain hormones in the brain, like neurotransmitters, serotonin and tryptophan and things like that. And so, different cereals or pulses, legumes, in different amounts and different variety, is the best form of protein. Okay? Yes, brother. It's a good question. You know, these days there is a fancy to talk about different allergies, like allergy to gluten, allergy to dairy products, allergy to milk, allergy to particular fruit, citrus fruits. Not all people have allergies for dairy products, or not all people have allergy to gluten. Yes, there are about 1 to 2% of people who are intolerant to gluten and dairy products. Now, these days there is an allergy test which is available. I don't know whether you are aware of it. It's a simple allergy test. You have to just give a sample of blood. It is available in India. And it gives you a picture of which products you are allergic to. It gives you a result in terms of different immunoglobulins. You know, our immunity system generates certain antibodies to different allergic substances. And so if you are allergic to particular allergic substances, then the antibodies are more which are there in the blood. So this allergy test gives you a result of different allergy substances that you are allergic to. Just a blood test, it's a bit costly in India. It's around 2,500 rupees, or even 3,500. There are two or three varieties of tests. One which gives you complete picture. It gives you all kinds of allergies, result of all kinds of allergies, you know, like dust and fumes and even the grass and fruits and everything. And there is another test which gives you allergy report of basic eatables like wheat and Bengal gram or banana or things like that. And it gives you a correct picture whether you are allergic to dairy products or gluten. We have one doctor in our hospital who himself had cough and cold, which was not getting cured. Despite all the efforts, he used to have cough and cold round the year. And ultimately he got his allergy test done after 6-7 years. And it was found that he was allergic to dairy products, milk and milk products. He was very much allergic. The level which was mentioned for the dairy products was very, very high. And he stopped all the dairy products, including Toles, which were prepared from milk. And his cough and cold disappeared within a week's time. So there are few people who are allergic to gluten or dairy products. But as a general rule, you cannot say that all people should avoid gluten and dairy products in order to avoid cancer. No, I won't say that. Okay? Right? I think I can take last question from the sister. Then I can give you some tips in order to avoid consulting the doctors and remain healthy. Right? That would be more useful to you. Yes, sister. Cholesterol. Yes, sister is asking about nuts. Very important question. It's a habit to exchange the gifts of nuts, right? Even for the sake of Toles. Different kinds of nuts that include cashew nuts and almonds and pistachios and things like that. Yeah? and seeds and dates and whatnot. There's a limit to nuts, you know. Nuts are rich source of vitamin, minerals, trace elements. If you have few pieces of nuts every day, it fulfills the daily requirement of vitamins. You need not take a pill of vitamin. But if you take more number of nuts daily, then it increases your cholesterol. It increases your bad fat, bad cholesterol. So there is a risk associated with nuts. It's also very rich in fat and cholesterol. All the nuts. Okay? So what I would recommend, that if you don't have high cholesterol level, then you can go for about 5 to 7 pieces of nuts, different nuts. Almonds, cashew nuts, you know, raisins. Okay, mixture of the nuts. Not more than 8 or 10, for sure, every day. Per day, 8 to 10 pieces. No. All together, 8 to 10. Mixture of different nuts. Okay? Including peanuts. If you eat more than that, then you are likely to have more bad cholesterol. And then you are likely to visit the heart specialist, the cardiologist, in a long run. Sorry? Peanuts have equal nutritive value, but peanuts has little more bad cholesterol as compared to the other nuts, like almonds and cashew nuts and things like that. But they also have equal nutritive value in terms of vitamins and minerals and trace elements. That's why peanuts are known as the almonds of the poor. You know? And they also have good proteins, the peanuts. But if you take more than 8 to 10 pieces altogether, different nuts, then you carry a risk of having high cholesterol. Alright, I'll give you some tips how to avoid having sicknesses and remain healthy all the time and never need an appointment with a doctor or a psychiatrist like me, yeah? Because psychiatrists charge very heavy, especially in the developed countries. I'm aware of it. My colleagues, you know, they make a lot of money. And it's very difficult to have an appointment with a psychiatrist. Sometimes you have 3 or 4 or 6 months of waiting period, depending upon the country where you live in. So in order to remain healthy and in order to avoid consulting the doctors, I would like to give you some tips, you know. As I said before, follow those gross principles of healthy living, like moderate exercise, lot of vegetables and fruits, small frequent meals, fixed daily routine that includes good amount of good quality sleep, moderate exercise with stretching of major joints and things like that, good stress-free yogic lifestyle. Yeah. If you have regular yoga and Gyan and Murli, and if you are in connection with the Baba's family, at least on the weekends. Sometimes you live far from the centers, right? And it's difficult to go to the center every day. But if you listen to the Murli on conference line or on radio, and if you keep in touch with Baba's family, especially during weekends and programs, and keep a balance between your spiritual life and your Laukic life, then I guess, and I hope, you will never become sick. And in case you want to prevent illnesses, I think you should have regular checkups, especially after the age of 40. Go to a family doctor at least every 2 years. Have your basic checkup done, like blood sugar, blood pressure, etc., etc., hemoglobin and things like that, EKG. And if everything is within order, normal, and if you have regular checkups from your family physician, I'm sure you can prevent certain illnesses. And if you feel that everything is okay in terms of physical health, your blood pressure, blood sugar, etc., etc., and you still don't enjoy life, you feel you are burnt out, if you feel that you are overstressed, you carry stress within your psyche, consciously, subconsciously, and if your family physician, family doctor feels that yes, it's good for you to consult a psychiatrist, don't hesitate to consult a psychiatrist. And many times, you know, what you require is just lifestyle changes. Psychiatrists many times give you changes in your lifestyle. They give you a kind of a counseling, which advises you to change certain unhealthy, faulty behaviors. Many of the problems within the families are because of the faulty behaviors. Sometimes we are too demanding from the family members. Sometimes they are over-demanding from us, you know. Sometimes we are too commanding. Sometimes we are too submissive. And you don't know what kind of unhealthy behavior in terms of interpersonal relationships you carry within the family, Laukik as well as Brahmin family. So it's better to have a session of counseling or advice or, if required, anti-anxiety, antidepressant medication from a psychiatrist. If need be, you can also go to a psychologist in order to get your stress sorted out. Many times we carry a lot many conflicts within our psyche, you know. And if those conflicts are not resolved, then we have the ill effects of those piled up subconscious conflicts that we carry in our psyche. So it's a good idea to consult if your family doctor advises you, if your family doctor refers you to a psychologist or a psychiatrist. But as far as possible, if you maintain your lifestyle, which is a balanced one, not too involved with your gross job, your Laukik jobs, not too involved with your Laukik family members, at the same time not too involved with spiritual, you know, family, it's very important for you to maintain a balance and go ahead and have regular checkups, regular consultation from your family doctor, family physician, because earlier the sickness is detected, the better it is cured. Sometimes it is too late. Some people have a habit not to consult the doctor even for a serious problem, you know. Even if they have fever, they don't consult the doctor. You know, there are different causes of fever. It can be flu, it can be typhoid, enteric fever, it can be any other fever, it can be an infection, you know, in the body. It happened with Brother Nirvair, you know. This time around he had infection and he used to run fever in between. But because of his preoccupation with Baba's family and Baba's programs, and you know, he didn't find time to get it checked and sorted out. And he had a very rare infection in his back, you know, vertebra. And he wasn't given appropriate antibiotics for that infection. So it became a little worse. But of course, he is very health conscious, you know. He is soul conscious, at the same time, he is very health conscious. And it's good that he got it diagnosed in time. And Dr. Pratap has gone to Mumbai, the director now, and he'll be coming tonight. Shashivan is also returning back tonight from Mumbai. So the karmic accounts of body, certain karmic accounts of the body in terms of, fever and cough and cold, or any other problem like high blood pressure, high blood sugar, if detected in time, treated in time, cured in time, can prevent you from landing into certain complications, you know. So it's good. It's a good habit. If you have insurance, medical insurance, that's fine, you know. And even if you don't have medical insurance, Global Hospital is there when you come every year. Every 2 years you can get your checkup done, you know, in order to save some money. I know insurance in some countries are very, very costly, especially in America. But now they say the Obamacare, the new health care, still it's not that costly. People have different deals which are fairly costly, or maybe a little less costly than what it was. But medical insurance has become costly in some of the countries. So if you cannot afford to have insurance, if you cannot afford to pay premiums, but it's better to get your basic test done every 2 years, and Global Hospital is open for everyone, including double foreigners. So I wish and hope that wealth of health is saved, not just saved, but accumulated. And you do more seva, more service, more efforts, right? If you are more healthy, physically, mentally, spiritually. And wish that you return back the next year. How many of you are leaving with this week, coming week? Oh, most of you are leaving, right. So I wish that you maintain good health, keep good health, and return back with better spirit and better tempo the next year, the next season, right? Okay. Om Shanti.